But let's turn to focus on Advent for the next four Sundays as we prepare our hearts to welcome the birth of Christ.
Well, it is good to welcome everyone here this morning, and we look forward to hearing what the Lord has waiting for us, because he is here in his spirit, and if he's here in his spirit, then he obviously wants to move in his spirit amongst us. And so we do welcome him, and we look forward to what he desires to do in our lives today. Isn't it wonderful to know there's a place for us in our Father's house? And no one can take that from us. What an amazing blessing. We're going to have now a time of prayer. And because I really want you to learn to pray in a different way than what we normally do, I'm going to ask you just to take a minute before the Father, you're in the Father's house, and just ask him for a word for the person sitting next to you. It may be peace, or it may be joy, or it may be a few words like, God just wants you to know he loves you. It doesn't really matter, except that it has to be an encouraging word. So if you're not sitting next to someone right now, can you just please move and make sure that you are sitting to at least one other person? It's really important. So I'm just going to give you now a minute just of silence and ask the Lord to give you a word for the person sitting next to you. So were you all able to share a word of encouragement from the Lord to each other? Did anybody find that difficult to do? So it was okay for everyone? Good, that's great. Okay, your next assignment. Of course, your handling is, what I would like you to do is I'd like you to place a hand on the shoulder of the person. Do ask first. Is that okay, Jody, if I do that with you? I'm going to show you what I'm going to do with Jody, because it's helpful if somebody shows you. And what I want you to do is I want you now to speak, not just the Lord has given you a word for each other, but now I want you to speak a blessing over the person sitting next to you. It's really easy to do, but you remember, our words have substance. So we have the ability to curse, but we also have the ability to bless. And so this morning, I want you to take that opportunity now to bless the person sitting next to you with just simple words. For Jody, Jody, I bless you in the love of Christ, that you may know how much you mean to him. It's as simple as that. So you might like to just bless each other, just with permission, lay a hand on each other's shoulder and just speak a blessing over each other's life. And now let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly and gratefully. And we thank you that you are so present. And we thank you that you delight in us when we bless each other, when we bring words of encouragement, that we are being the body of Christ to each other, lifting each other up, walking the journey together. How we praise you that you've made that possible through your Holy Spirit. And we ask that as we continue in our service this morning, that you will really minister to each of our hearts. For I don't believe there's a single person here who wouldn't love to experience your anointing this morning, who hunger and thirst for you. And so we ask that this morning none of us will leave unchanged, but encouraged by your grace, encouraged by your presence, encouraged by each other, as we uplift each other and walk together this journey called life. We give you thanks and praise, in particular that you know the hearts of those who are struggling right now. And Lord, we ask that you will meet them where they're at, that you will provide everything that they need to get through this day, because we only have to do this life, this thing called life, one day at a time. May you be our strength and our hope in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Isaiah chapter 40. But we just got the first five verses. Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm reading from the Message version, so it may sound a little bit different than what some of you could recite. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak softly and tenderly to Jerusalem, but also make it very clear that she has served her sentence, that her sin is taken care of, forgiven. She's been punished enough and more than enough, and now it's over and done with. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road straight and smooth, a highway fit for our God. Fill in the valleys, level off the hills, smooth out the ruts, clear out the rocks. Then God's bright glory will shine and everyone will see it. Yes, just as God has said.
Have all of you got your rocks? Did anybody not receive a rock this morning? Hands up if you don't have one. Okay, so I want you to take hold of the rock, and I want you to hang on to it for until I let to ask you to surrender it. Okay, so don't let go. I'm really excited to be able to bring the word this morning. It's a message that the Lord has really put onto my heart, and I hope it will speak to yours. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is a word of hope, and we ask that this morning that I won't be the one heard, it will be you, and that you will speak deeply into each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you a little story that I shared with the women at the women's retreat last year. It's a true story. When I was just a very young nurse, I'd been into my 3 months of training. The head nurse of the ward came up to me and said, would you and another girl who was also only in her third month, please go and see to Mr. Jones, who is in room 22, and take him for a walk. It's time that he went for a walk. So I thought, okay, that's good. So we went up to Mr. Jones. And there he was lying in his bed, and his eyes were half closed. And, you know, he looked pretty so-so. And we thought, you know, you really look like you need a good walk. So together, we told him, said, we're going to take you for a walk now, and we carefully sat him up. He wasn't really very cooperative, but we thought, no, you really need this. This is good for you. So while I held him up in bed, she put his slippers on, and then we gently eased him off onto the ground, but he was not really working with us. He was not cooperating at all. And so we got started, and we were just talking words of charm. You can do this. Come on. So we helped him a little bit with pushing his foot just forward on one side, then she'd push his foot forward on the other, and we'd be holding him up, and he started making these rather rude noises, and he was dribbling a bit, but we held him up, and smiled words of encouragement, and then think, oh, this is terrible. You can do this. Anyway, we had him part of the way down the ward while we were carrying him, pushing him, encouraging him to do this. And as we were going down, the head sister comes up to us, and she looks at us and she says, what are you doing? I said, oh, we're taking Mr. Jones for a walk. He really needs this. He said, you do know he's dead, don't you? True story. Avard cringes any time I share that story. But it was real. I was helping a dead man to walk. He appeared alive with help, but he was really quite dead. I wonder if that's our experience of Advent. We remember a man who came and died, and all we are doing is propping up a dead image or story of someone who is in fact dead to our spirit and our hearts. I wonder if Jesus is someone we are just holding or propping up, believing that if we will just hold on to the story, that will make all the difference. Maybe you believe in the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and even in the second coming, but you don't believe the Father God is alive and active and the very purpose and core of your being. You're just holding the faith up. And you're getting exhausted, trying to look like all is well, when in fact all is dying or dead, and you feel empty. We are currently in Advent. And Advent is a time of remembering Jesus breaking into history and pouring out his salvation for all of us. It's a time to remember the ancient promises from Abraham, David, and the prophets. But it's more than that. It's a time to remember the fulfillment of what is yet to come and how to live in that promise right here and right now until the completion of the promise. In Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Now in Ezekiel, the Spirit of Christ counsels humanity in all of its sinfulness and brokenness to cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. So according to Ezekiel, there are two distinct elements to this new covenant promise. The new heart and the new spirit are the result of the regenerating work of the Spirit of God inside of us. But also in accordance to Ezekiel, what he said is, and then God gives you a new spirit. His own spirit will be within us. It is twofold. So he gave each and every one of us a brand new spirit that is now supernaturally rendered dead to sin. That spirit cannot sin. Paul called this your new self, who has been created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is the new creation miracle. However, we still tend to live out of a spirit that is broken. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. So if you have heard the voice of God, the Son of God, and you've responded to him with a firm yes, then you are alive. There's no question, you are alive. But you have not been made alive just to live as someone who is dead. And sometimes that's what we do with our faith. We are not in God's waiting room. Often, you know, I've heard people saying, oh, well, you know, I'm sick or I'm old or I'm this or I'm that, and I'm just sitting and waiting in God's waiting room until he comes for me or until the second coming. But there is no waiting room. You're either alive or you are dead. There is nothing in between. According to Isaiah 40, 1 to 2, we can take comfort in the reality that we are alive in God. It says, comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak softly and tenderly to Jerusalem. Now, instead of the name of Jerusalem, you can put your name. Speak softly and gently to Claire, or speak softly and gently to Ian, or speak softly and gently to Beatrice. Put your name there, because this promises to all of us. It says, speak softly and tenderly, but also make it very clear that she, he, has served her sentence, that her sin is taken care of, forgiven. He, she, has been punished enough and more than enough, and now it's over and done with. Though those words were for Jerusalem, they are also for the descendants of God's people through his Spirit, which is us. Christ has taken our sins from us. Our punishment is finished. He took it away. We don't own it anymore. Now we have the great gift of a new heart and a new spirit. In addition to that, God has poured himself into our lives in his Holy Spirit. We are holy ground. And the Spirit of God is living and residing within us. And he is not passive while he dwells within us. He is not in a state of in between of Jesus coming and the second coming, just hanging around twiddling his thumbs. He is alive and active and wanting to empower and enable each and every one of us to move in his love and grace and truth and glory. He's given each of us an assignment. His assignment that will not only make a genuine difference to the kingdom of God, but will cause our hearts to sing and our spirits to soar like eagles. However, we can choose to ignore his presence. We can become dead man walking. We can go through all the right actions, but just be propping up a dead faith. One significant way that he wants to be in our lives is as our Father. He wants to be our Father just as he is the Father of Jesus Christ. He wants to be active in our lives just as he was in Christ. And he wants us to get to know him so intimately that we will know what he wants us to do, just as Jesus, through his intimacy with the Father, knew what the Father would have him do. Jesus said in John 5:19, "I tell you the truth, whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Now, to do that, he had to have an intimate relationship to be able to hear and see what his Father was doing. I wonder how many of us are still living as spiritual orphans, saved but separated, lacking attachment to God, the Father, and feeling all alone in faith. Maybe trying to do more, be more, but always feeling like you fall short of what you should be doing. One of the things that I have learned in this life is that my relationship to my Father in heaven is highly influenced by my relationship with my own earthly dad. Even as a Christian, fully believing that I belong to the Father through the gift of Jesus and have lived many years serving God, last week I realized a really important truth. I attended a quantum ministries seminar, and Phil Mason was speaking, and he is an incredible teacher and enabled to really create an understanding of the Father heart of God. And after his teaching, he gave us half an hour just to sit with the Father, just to let him talk to us. And as I went into that space, I really felt again like, yes, but I don't feel close to him. I don't feel attached to God. I love him passionately, but I don't feel quite the same response from him. And I really wondered, and I thought, why do I feel this detachment? Why do I feel like I'm a disappointment? Why do I feel like I'm not enough? And then he gave me a vision. And I'll share my vision in a minute, but what he reminded me is of my relationship with my dad and how I had disappointed my dad over the years. And I felt like I wasn't enough for my dad as a daughter. And I was absolutely also struggling with my dad not being present to me in the things that I needed in my life. He was emotionally absent. He didn't protect me like he should have. But then in this vision, I saw my dad running to me, arms held wide, tears pouring down his face. And he came and he embraced me. And he held me so tight, he just wouldn't let go. And he was just kissing me on my face, on my head, wherever his lips could reach. And his love and his joy just embraced me and just drenched me. And I felt the belonging and I knew I was home with him. And I realized that my dad had loved me, but he loved me in his brokenness the best he could. But in his being in Christ, there was now no reservation and he could love me fully. And my dad went to be with the Lord some years ago, so this was my first experience of him being with the Lord. And it was incredible. He had done his best out of his brokenness. But our Father does his best out of his wholeness. You'll remember the story of the prodigal. When the prodigal son comes home and the father, he sees his son at a distance, he lifts up the hems of his garments and he starts to run to him and he's so excited. And before the son even knows what's happened in all his filth and in everything, the father just embraces him to him and he kisses him and he covers him with his cloak and puts his ring on him and he reinstates him. That is the love of the Father for us. He comes running to us. He's not waiting there passively, thinking, well, one day they'll catch on. He's there and he runs to us and he embraces us and he wants us and he calls us by name. We are chosen by him. And when you know that you are loved by the Father, you understand that you are in him, you are attached to him. One of the things that Phil Mason spoke of was the fact that sometimes we misunderstand what it means to be in Christ. But what it means is we are attached to him, much like the vine and the branches. The branches are grafted into the vine. They are not just attached, they are become one of the vine. They are part of the vine. And we are part of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when we have been attached into the grafted into Christ and the Father heart of God. So we are no longer ordinary people, though I think too often we live like that. We are extraordinary people because we are living and walking in the reality and the truth of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We are in community with them, and we can never have that broken unless we choose to walk away. And even then, he will follow you, and he will follow you, and he will follow you until you choose to turn around and be attached again, because he loves you too much to let you go. We all have our story. We all have brokenness in our lives of some kind. And we can let our life experience and relationship with God be colored by those experiences and those relationships. But God wants to heal our broken hearts. He wants to know the true extent of his love for us and his redeeming love. He has made us worthy through the new birth of our heart and spirit, and he has confirmed his full acceptance of us through the giving of the Holy Spirit. But that was just the beginning. If we can come to a place of healing, a place of laying down the pain and the hurt and the fear and the disappointment and possibly the sense of abandonment, often by our earthly fathers or mothers or significant people in our lives, he will restore our hearts from brokenness to wholeness, from death to life. And we can embrace a life of relationship with him and enjoy walking with him each day, firmly grafted into his heart, never to be separated. Then we'll be able to hear his voice, and he will reveal his plans for us and equip us to fulfill those plans. Now, the danger of not going into the Father heart of God is that we don't really know what to do, so we do what we know. Remember Peter and the disciples following Jesus after his resurrection. I think there were 7 of them together at the time. And they were just hanging out together and nothing was happening and they just didn't really know what to do. So in John 21, Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And the disciples quickly said, "We're going with you." They didn't know what to do. So they went back to what they knew. They were no longer waiting for Jesus' direction. They were going back to what is familiar and safe. I wonder if some of us have done that too. Not knowing what to do or how to walk in the Spirit, we have gone back to doing things our way. The fishermen had been fishing all night in John 21, and they had caught nothing. But in the early hours of the morning, as they were coming to shore, a man standing on the shore says, "Put your net on the right side." Now, these were professional fishermen. They had probably been putting their net on the left and on the right side all night. They had caught nothing. But they decided to do what he said, so they put the net onto the right side, and suddenly the net was filled to overflowing. Peter immediately recognized that that man was Jesus. He had done what Jesus said, and the result of that was huge. And you probably remembered as well that this had happened once before, I think in Matthew 5 or 6, where that had happened and Jesus had said to Peter, "I will make you fishers of men." From that moment onward, Peter never took his eyes off Jesus again. And for the rest of his life, to his dying breath, he followed Christ and did whatever the Father showed him to do, even in the way that he died. God desires to transform our lives from the ordinary things that we know into the extraordinary things that he has prepared. There is an amazing journey waiting for each of us to enter into that will lead us into the heart of his glory. If we look only towards Christmas as the answer to Isaiah's cry, we fail to hear God's full response to the ancient prophet. There is more to come. Can I encourage you, please, to lay down whatever is dead in you so that the Father, through Jesus and his Holy Spirit, can bring to life every beautiful aspect of who you are and take you on an adventure that will lead you deeper into his heart and glory. It's never too late to decide to follow Jesus into the Father heart of God and walk with him to your final breath. This morning, I would like to invite you to take a couple of minutes just quietly to ask the Father where you really are in relationship with him and what burden, what thing that is heavy, taking life from you, might still be at work there. In your hands you've had the rock. I hope you held on to it. If you noticed after a while you didn't even notice it was there. Sometimes the dead things in our lives, we don't notice them anymore because we've gotten so used to them. But God does not want you to keep walking with that burden. So when you've had time to sit with the Lord for a couple of minutes, I'd ask you not to talk. This is your time with the Father heart of God. And he shows you what to lay down. You're invited to bring your rock to the foot of the cross. It means you have to walk that way and just lay it there at the foot of the cross. And then we've got oil of anointing for you if you would like oil of anointing. There'll be three of us up the front anointing with oil. And you'll receive a special letter from the Father heart to you, which Lloyd will give to you as you finish. If there's husband and wife, I don't know if I've got enough, so if husband and wife might like to share one letter, it's the same letter, and so that everybody can receive one. So you might like to now go into a time of silence. Hang on to that rock. Talk to the Father. Father, we do come before you in gratitude that you would take from us the burdens that we lay down, and we ask that you help us now not to take them back up again. They are no longer ours. We have given them away. Help us to never take them back. But if there are still areas that need further healing, then Lord, we ask that you will be doing that healing at a very deep level, that all of us can walk in the freedom and the wholeness of who you are, that our spirits will soar like eagles, and that we will be able to embrace everything that you have ready to pour out upon us. May our lives truly be reflective of your glory wherever we are. In Jesus' name, amen. May Almighty God bless you and be with you as you go forth as the true sons and daughters of the living God in his strength, in his truth, in his word, and in his love. And nothing can harm you when you walk in that way. God bless you.